WFOD starts now.
Charlie bit me.
Hello and welcome to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks Internet Radio Program. I am Mike. I am joined, of course, by my co-host, Drunkard STL on the Twitters.
Oh, yes.
Matt is also here. Hello, Matt.
Hi.
And guys, we're joined by a very special guest.
As special as they come.
As special, yeah. He's up there on the list of special guests. Yeah, well, Grant Morrison, he's going to be on the program later, Matt. No, guys. We're not going to do Grant Morrison impressions on the episode where we're going to be talking to Grant Morrison.
Grant, you got your kilt on?
No, we're not doing this, guys. Guys, Grant Morrison's going to be on the program after the break. We're talking to him about his new, or the second season of his television program, Happy. We're very excited about it. But guys, Dan Furnicase is here, guys. From the Furnicast, Dan Furnicase. Hi, Dan.
Nay.
I don't think it's whether he wants to do the Grant Morrison impression as much as the Grant Morrison impression wants to do the show.
Dan.
Yeah, it's channel. It's channeling.
We're talking to Grant Morrison. I know everybody's super excited about it, but I don't think we should do Grant Morrison impressions. I don't think we should do
it. Matey, I'm Grant.
No, that's a pirate, Matt. Grant Morrison, he's a Scottish fellow.
You tell me
like the two Scotsman and a pirate. Man. Tell me one difference.
Okay, guys.
You idiot.
Travis isn't here this week.
It's nice to be here.
Unfortunately.
Dan, it's nice to have you. So this thing happens. The Travis bit, the people demand it, guys. And what the Travis bit is I am sent filthy lyrics to songs, and Travis is tasked with kids bopping them, making them more family friendly.
And boy, is he just great at that!
Yeah, and I mean he's a dad, Travis.
Yes.
And so
Papa Travis.
Yeah, and so what happened was, I was panicking because the people, they demand that bit, man.
Yes.
If Travis isn't going to be here, who's going to do the Kids Bop bit? And so I suggested it to Dan. I said, Dan, can you Kids Bop that shit?
Right.
And his sister, Mandy, who he does the Furnicast with.
Yeah.
She said...
Wait, they're related?
Dan and Mandy?
Sadly, yes.
Yeah,
I had no idea.
Yeah, they're related. She said, "Oh, he couldn't do that. He's incapable. He would just make it dirtier.
It's all butts and stuff."
Yeah, that's what she said. Is that Dan would just make it dirtier, and that sounded funny to me.
Right.
I didn't know Mandy was from the South. Twingy.
She's not Southern at all. I don't.
All women are Southern when they're upset.
Dan,
that's true.
My impression of your sister was not great. It's certainly not as good as Matt's pirate.
Not as good as my impression of Grant Morrison.
So what I thought, Dan, is that you could do whatever the opposite of Kids Bop in that shit is.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that sounds fun. Actually, I'll give it a try. Let me limber up.
Kids lyrics.
Gonna do some stretches, Dan.
Yeah, I'm just kind of, you know, shaking my arms out here. I would like to point out that because I knew I was filling in for Travis, I brought a glass full of ice.
Oh, so you can clank it?
Oh, nice.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I fucking prep. You ask me to be on your show, I'm going to do research. I'm going to do prep. I'm going to come in hot.
Now, Dan.
So that means you got at least three fingers in that cup, right?
You goddamn right I do. That's not the only, I've got two extra fingers for anybody that wants them.
Park them right here, Dan.
None of this is usable. Dan, in 1992, the film Aladdin came out. Hey, are you familiar with Aladdin?
I remember it well.
Dan, the lyrics are, I can show you the world, shining, shimmering, splendid. Tell me, princess, now when did you just let your heart decide?
No.
I can show you the world, shining, shimmering, splendid. Tell me, princess, now when did you last let your heart decide?
Now, Dan, can you do whatever the opposite of kids bopping that shit is?
I can show you my cock, veiny, throbbing, and turgid. Tell me, princess, now when did you last spread your butt cheeks wide?
Amen. Perfect.
It's beautiful. There that we is go. Goddamn masterpiece.
What happened? I passed out.
So, guys, there's a lot going on in the world.
Even threw turgid in there.
Yeah, turgid.
Even threw turgid.
That's a word near and dear to my heart.
Oh, Matt, I love it. I
Matt,
love
turgid. I challenge you to organically get the word turgid into the rest of the show somehow. Just organically. I mean,
actually, at work, there's a bunch of words that I know that really bother some of the girls that work in data entry. So I always try to find ways to work. Like, one of them is bothered by the word throbbing. So she'd be like, Matt, we have a stat. You know, it's gotta get out of here. So I'd be like, so what you're saying is that's a throbbing stat, and just, you know, throw it in random places just to get on their nerves. And it's pretty great.
Yeah. You know, Matt, Drunk is heading your way soon. He's heading up to,
For fuck's sake. I know. I almost feel like I'm planning the trip for him.
No, New Hampshire.
I'm exaggerating.
Coming up there on one of his weed vacations.
Is New Hampshire a weed destination?
Not New Hampshire. Massachusetts has become a weed destination.
The High Founding Fathers tour.
You have stuff planned with him, Matt? Are you guys going to hook up, or are you going to be his tour guide? Are you going to show him the sights?
I would love nothing more than to meet up with Drunk and his lovely lady Drunk, but I'm not sure that his path, I don't know if we're ever going to be that close to each other, because it sounds, I thought he was going to Maine, but then recently, I guess, are you not going to Maine, Drunk?
Yeah, I might. You never know.
If you meet Drunk in person, will you present him with a dresser?
Yeah. Here's your dresser. It's laissez-faire. You don't have it all mapped out yet. You're just going to play it by ear. You're going to get up there to Massachusetts, and you're just going to fly by the seat of your pants?
Yeah.
Are you still going to Pittsfield, Massachusetts? Is that still the plan?
So we had to stop somewhere after Niagara Falls.
Niagara Falls, that's a tourist destination.
We're not 1,000% sure, but you know, Pittsfield is the first weed shop once you cross the state. So
right,
we're definitely going to stop in Pittsfield now, whether or not.
Now, are you driving?
Yeah,
you're driving to Massachusetts.
We're driving to Columbus, Cleveland, Niagara Falls, Massachusetts, and then
Massachusetts.
I guess we're going to be coming back through Pennsylvania and whatnot to come on home. So,
are you going to be making your way up to Maine?
Well, we'll definitely be in the Boston area. We want to do the aquarium, so.
Oh, you're actually going to the aquarium in Boston?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Last time, I know when we were talking about it, I didn't even know if you were going to make it into Boston. It seemed like you were going to Pittsfield and then up through New Hampshire into Maine. But you're actually now going to be in Boston?
We will be in Boston, yep.
So that's cool. You guys are going to have like a date. Matt, you can go to Boston and meet Drunk, right?
Only problem is we're going to be there midweek, and I'm sure this man has to work. So,
you take a vacation day for old Drunk.
Oh, yeah. With that goes without saying.
Yeah, I could make some time for the Drunkard STL on the Twitter.
Good, good, good.
And all of our listeners meet up with Drunk in all of his destinations, too. We're going to have like a map and tell you where Drunk is on any given day and where you can go meet him at.
Well, it just so happens I'll be flat drunk, only not flat. I'll be in Dan's neck of the woods come June, so.
You going to be in Wyoming?
I'm going to Yellowstone Park come.
I live like 100 miles from Yellowstone Park.
And to Maine.
Drunk.
You can make this happen. You tell me what path you're coming on through Yellowstone to Yellowstone, and I will absolutely be able to meet up with you.
Drunk. You live 100 miles from Dan, and that should be a stop on your trip. You go record a Furnacast.
Sure. Well, I know.
God, I'm nervous now. Are you nervous, Matt?
I know we're going to stop in Fort Collins, and then from Fort Collins drive.
That's about eight hours from my house.
Well, no, I know, but that's. But it's like 14 for mine, so day one stop.
Try not to make that trip through Wyoming a pot trip. You may not be leaving.
So, Drunk, I know you're saying you're planning that for midweek. What dates are we looking at that you'll be rolling through the Massachusetts?
This is probably great, really interesting for everybody, I'm so sure.
This is 17th and 18th. That will be in Massachusetts.
Drunk had asked me if there's a lot of toll roads and whether or not he should have exact change on him as he's driving through Massachusetts. Well, and I thought that'd be really funny because it's like, I mean, wouldn't you just keep some cash in the car for the tolls if you come across it? Do you want me to like map out how much each toll is?
No, but when we were coming home from Vegas and going through Oklahoma, like that was a real like fear.
I mean, like when you put in
because there's so many toll roads and you have to have exact change at every single one of them.
You put in like a thing on Google Maps. Doesn't it tell you where there's toll roads?
Crazy amount.
It worked.
Turgid.
A turgid amount of toll booths.
We're leaving on the 19th to go to Florida, so
Matt's going
to
go have dinner with Mickey Mouse.
Yeah.
And the Mickey Mouse breakfast.
Mm-hmm. So if you're in that area that week, I think I could maybe peel off an afternoon for you.
Hell yeah.
Did I ever tell you guys about what happened to me at Disneyland when I was a kid?
Mickey Mouse did naughty things. It's not as dark
as that setup makes it sound. But So when I was a kid, a big Donald Duck fan. Donald Duck.
You were into Donald?
Yeah, I liked Donald Duck a lot more.
Donald Duck rules. I mean, as a kid, I loved Donald Duck.
Why
is he dressed like a sailor?
What's that?
Why is Donald dressed like a sailor?
He was in the Navy, actually.
Was he? Oh, yeah. Well, fuck me. Thank you for your service, Donald Duck.
Not the United States Navy, actually. He was he sailed for Japan in World War II. Oh,
well.
We see Donald Duck at Disneyland, right? This is like, what, 1987-ish? I was in kindergarten.
Yeah.
I go running up, fucking Donald Duck. I'm so happy. He had, you know, these costumes are kind of intimidating for a little kid, but he had these huge plastic eyes and they looked kind of weird. So I was just sort of like touching the eye, like, what the fuck's going on here? Donald Duck grabbed my hand, twisted it, you know, like twisted it under and like kind of back and just shoved me away from him.
Because you touched his eyes?
Yeah, because I was touching his eye.
Did he think that you were fucking with him?
Yeah, and that was the day I became.
Let's be real. Like, if somebody pokes your eye, what are you going to do?
That's true. Yeah,
but it's not even his real eye, though, right? I mean,
the character's eye—they got to stay in character.
You think
Dan.
That was what? The, you think that? The,
yeah, the, I think he was like
this I cast think member like, was just so committed. He was fucking
yeah. The that's
Daniel
in the
Lewis of Daffy Duck, Donald Duck.
That's in the think. Disney character pledge. Like, you know, character above all. Like, you know, child safety. Fuck that. If he pokes you in the eye, that's your eye.
Dan,
you're Donald
you
Duck.
To think at all for a moment that didn't hurt him, because then that would be breaking down that wall.
I mean, I've got to say that's what Donald Duck would have done if somebody poked him in the eye.
Sure.
And he would have just fucking shoved him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Broke your little stupid 5-year-old wrist.
Fuck you, kid. Get out of here with your MacGyver mullet.
Oh. Yes.
That's what got the pop.
I love MacGyver mullets.
Oh, that's why he was excited.
That was
I was kind of confused what drunk reacts to. Like, you never know what it's going to be.
When I was younger, I wanted
MacGyver. That's a thing I like. Woo!
I wanted the Yammer Yager mullet growing up. That was so BA.
Dan, name some other things and see what we can get drunk excited about. Clifford the Big Red Dog.
Yeah, he's okay.
Coke Zero.
No.
Van
Ranger
Halen.
Rick. Big Johnson t-shirts.
So, guys, Dan's a big Grant Morrison fan. And we talked to him. And it's...
For reals this time.
Yeah, the last time we tried to get him, it didn't work out very good.
Yeah, I can't really make fun of Grant Morrison interviews anymore.
Well, I mean, you can.
It actually almost happened again. We were real close to not having Grant Morrison again.
Yeah, dude, it was real, real close.
It's a twice-in-a-lifetime opportunity. You don't want to bust it.
Right. Really, the only reason that Mike worked so hard to get Grant Morrison was to just shut you up, drunk.
I'm sure
that was
it.
Just to kill the kid.
Right when the interview was over, he just went, finally. That's what he said. He just went, finally.
The meme is dead.
Yeah. Talk shit about me now, Ryan.
And then I'm sure
that under his breath.
I'm sure when he almost dropped the second time, he's like, "Are these guys punking me, or what's going on here?"
Yeah, I don't know.
These fucking cunts.
Guys, what we're gonna do? We're gonna take a break.
Grant? Hello,
Grant.
Bah.
Our matey, right?
You like John the Batman?
It's time once again for the Hollywood Beat with your inside source, Drunk. This week, Drunk talks to Danny DeVito about his new film, Dumbo, in theaters March 29th.
So, Dumbo, what's your favorite part?
They're all so unique, each one. The beginning and where and they reflect, like Colleen's costumes, they reflect the personality of the whole troupe. And then the middle and
the end. Right.
Strangely, we like all the same pop culture bullshit that you like.
New from Amazon, the Alexa Outrage Barometer, an automated third-party source that will give you an unbiased read on whether you should or shouldn't give a fuck.
Alexa, they're selling tickets to a screening of Wonder Woman that's only for women.
The film is being shown on 3,000-plus screens nationwide. Go to a different one.
But it's sexist, right? They're infringing on my rights.
Maybe, but it's ultimately just some broads watching a shitty DC movie. It makes them happy. Why do you give a shit?
Oh. Thanks, Alexa.
The Amazon Alexa Outrage Barometer. Because there's a battle every day. We can help you choose the right ones.
WFOD! There are up and down songs. There are side to side songs. Occasionally, there's the perfect beat that embodies the true spirit of the Dick Helicopter. Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks Internet Radio Program is proud to induct another member into the Dick Helicopter Hall of Fame. We salute you and welcome you to the Dick Helicopter Hall of Fame. Now back to the show.
Guys, welcome back. Our guest tonight is one of comic's greatest innovators. The show Happy, based on his comic of the same name, as its season 2 premiere March 27th on Sci-Fi. Catch up with season one on Netflix. Guys, Grant Morrison is on the program.
Hi, guys.
How are you, Grant? The first season was pretty loosely based on, or I guess not loosely based. It was pretty true to the graphic novel.
Yeah, exactly. It was pretty faithful to the book, except obviously that Nick Sachs doesn't die at the end. gave us the opportunity to do some new stuff with the guy.
Has it been fun to expand on the characters? And
yeah, I mean, I loved those characters back in the day when I did the book, and it was always going to be a short piece because Derek Robertson, the artist, could only do four. So I kind of loved those two characters, and it was great to be able to carry the adventures on into television, you know, and to actually have someone like Christopher Maloney and Patton doing these guys. But yeah, I always loved them, and it's been great to just be able to carry that story on.
So that was the plan all along, was to send that to television in some form?
Well, no. I mean, we were just lucky that the people at Original Film liked it, that Brian Taylor liked it, and we were able to put the thing together. So it was never, no, the plan was just to tell a little Christmas story, and I just wanted to do my own version of It's a Wonderful Life or Scrooge, and it kind of grew out of that. But then, you know, as I said, I really enjoyed writing those characters. I thought they worked really well together. And when Nick dies at the end of the book, it just seemed like a waste of a good character.
Yeah.
So certainly once we got the TV show off the ground, it was there were a lot of ideas there for where we could take it after the first book.
So Brian Taylor approached you, because I feel like his style really lends itself well to the material. I mean, he has a very unique look that I think that when you see something that's Brian Taylor, you know immediately that it's him. So he came to you with the idea of doing the show?
Absolutely, yeah. No, well, he was basically Original Films who were the ones who took an interest in Happy way back. They got in touch with Brian. I met up with Brian. I was a massive fan of his stuff, especially the Crank movies, like Crank 2.
I wish they would just make 20 of those Crank movies. So, they're great.
Yeah. So, you know, we got on well, and it just seemed like, yeah, he was the guy to do this, because a lot of Happy, you know, there's elements of Crank in there that you can see. So, no, Brian, I think Brian's essential to what it turned into and what it is, especially, you know, the second season. His approach to the material is super cinematic, you know, he has no boundaries, he's willing to do things that no one else would think of, but in such a really brilliant way. So, no, he's been massive to how it's appeared on screen and the way that it's been translated, which I think has been pretty great.
Yeah, and as far as pushing boundaries and doing things that nobody else could think of, that's kind of like you guys were meant for each other.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, I mean, we do just get on. We're just trying to make one another laugh.
Right.
It's been amazing just to see how far can we take this, what can we get away with, you know, especially in a world where the boundaries are shrinking all the time and you have to watch what you're doing. To find new ways to outrage has been funny.
Do you think that season three is too early to introduce yourself as a character that tells everyone they're on a TV show?
I guess that one's been done before, so I would hate to cover the same territory again, but it'll happen in the end one of these days. But certainly not in season three. We have other plans for season three.
Is this something you could see being open-ended for quite a while, Grant? It's not like a hard out at season five. If it's doing well, you could carry it on to like 9-10 seasons.
Yeah, I mean, the thing was worked out from day one. We kind of worked out three seasons, and we know where we're going with that. After that, we have a kind of roadmap. So, yeah, I mean, I think the partnership between the two characters is strong enough that it could run and run. It just, you know, you just have to think about it differently, find new ways to refresh it, and I think we have a few good ideas there. So we'll see. Hopefully people love it enough that it goes on for another 100 years.
Season 12, Columbus Day.
Yeah.
So you're writing Green Lantern now. Is jumping into existing properties? I kind of feel like going into something like a Superman or a Batman or Green Lantern is kind of like improv. It's kind of like a yes and. Or do you just throw the textbook out and do whatever you want because you're Grant Morrison?
No, I mean, we all have our own memories of these characters. So, you know, just because it goes back to how did I feel about this character when I first saw. You know, when with Batman, it's one thing, and Superman, it's another. And with Green Lantern, I just wasn't into that character at all. He was too violent and angry all the time. But I tried to kind of channel those feelings. You know, he's always in fist fights. He's always getting into trouble. So it was just kind of going back to that. And yeah, I mean, I read all the stuff. Obviously, I do my research, particularly if it's a character whose book I wasn't that keen on. But all characters have something interesting about them, so you just have to find the key to get into it.
Grant, just following along that line, I'm a huge fan of All-Star Superman. And great, I was just wondering, is there any hope that we will see a Superman movie kind of based on that Superman? That's my favorite Superman, is All-Star Superman. I love what you did with
the
character.
Thank you. I mean, yeah, I mean, it would be nice. I mean, it's nothing. I have no power over that. You'd have to ask the executives at Warner Brothers. But yeah, I mean, I think it would probably be a good idea to do a Superman that was just on a big canvas, a big imaginative story. You know, I think the ground Superman is probably a mistake.
Yeah, the dark and gritty, grim, that's not Superman. I want the Superman that's hugging goth kids from...
Right.
I want that Superman.
Well, yeah, I mean, I agree with you. Everyone's got different approaches, you know, but I think a character like Superman kind of embodies the best of who we are and what we can be. He's not real. He can't exist in the real world, so the best he can be is an aspirational thing. And I'll always say, you know, my All-Star Superman, that the page where he saves the young kid who's about to commit suicide has actually saved real young people's lives. And to me, that's the power of Superman. It's nothing to do with reality. It's about he can actually save you, even though he's not real. And so right. I think the more aspirational, the more of a figure of, you know, at least something we can look up to and reach up to, I think the more useful he is. I don't think there's any point in bringing a ridiculous character like Superman down to earth.
That's the page I show people when I'm trying to tell them what comics can be, what they're capable of. That is always the page I show.
What they can actually, as I say, what they can be capable of is that Superman can save real kids' lives in the real world, even though he's a drawing. And I think that's amazing.
Are you a fan of the expansion of the comic book world into other mediums like movies and stuff, or do you kind of miss the days where it was kind of you know, just for comic fans, like, you know, everybody likes.
No, I mean, I think all of these stories and characters are strong enough that they can go into the wider media, and I'm happy with people seeing it. You know, people don't get to see comics a lot, even the last 20 or 30 years. We've tried hard, but ultimately, it's, you know, the print medium is of less interest to people than what they can see on screen. So I'm quite happy for these characters who are very strong and interesting to make their way across. But yeah, I mean, I'm a comic fan, so I'm nostalgic about the times when comics were the only place you could find these stories. But, you know, as I say, I think everyone deserves to see them.
And you kind of grew up in a time where it was kind of a hard thing to get comic books. And now they're everywhere. It's kind of like McDonald's now.
Yeah, I mean, especially in the UK here, you know, you really had to. It was an expedition. It was like Odysseus, just try and find a comic shop that had the latest monthly titles. So yeah, I remember when it was fun and you go around with your friends around all these different stores and try and pick up piece by piece the month's books. But you know, I think it's a different world. People can just get them online for free now. So I think the feeling of the treasure or the worth looking for has diminished slightly.
I was telling these guys a while ago that I actually, you came across my radar from the work you were doing with the disinformation company way back when, mm-hmm. if you remember that. And I was just wondering, is there any chance that you might be completing that Pop Magic series that you, the essays?
Yeah, I mean, I did a big piece on Magic in Heavy Metal magazine last year, which was a kind of extension of that stuff. So yeah, I mean, the plan is to do more of it. You know, I've got a lot of material, but right now everything goes into the work. You know, so as you'll see, if we can circuit back to Happy again, the second season of Happy, you see a lot more of that kind of stuff. You know, I think it's closer to something like The Invisibles than, say, the first season. So, yeah, you know, Magic is always a big deal for me, and I think in the times that we live in now, it's especially important because the world's so nuts.
Absolutely, yeah.
Do you have a vault like Prince? like long after you die, is there going to be Grant Morrison stuff that they put out or does everything
well,
you write
long after? I mean, I'm sure I'll be forgotten within a couple of generations like everybody else. But yeah, there's a ton of stuff. There's obviously stuff that no one's seen. So hopefully, you know, shortly after I die, when they cash in, there's a bunch of stuff to be.
So you
oh, man, All-Star Superman's going to live forever. I guarantee you that.
Yeah, Grant, your work.
Well, that's only because of Superman, not because of me.
No, it's I have come close to fisticuffs about that. That is the best Superman.
It definitely is.
What a thing to get in a fight about.
Thank you. But don't get into fights with it. Superman wouldn't want that.
That's not what Superman would want.
Well, guys. Happy premieres, or the second season of Happy premieres, March 27th on Sci-Fi. Yeah. Grant, do you have your hands all over it? Are you day to day with it, or have you just kind of dropped your kids off at the bus?
I was there for the first month of the writer's room when we were working out the basic story. You know, I co-wrote the pilot with Brian, but we've got an amazing team on it. So I was also involved in Brave New World this year. So Happy, I was kind of dividing my time, but the team is just so brilliant. You know, I was seeing stuff that I didn't even know about, and like I say, it's on a rising curve of madness this season. I think there are things in there that people have never seen on television before, and I'm really excited to see what people think.
Grant, we appreciate you spending some time with us.
No, it was good talking to you guys. That was fun.
Thank you.
Hey, it's I was talking with these guys before we went on. My wife, we watched the first episode of Happy. She was a little down on it, and then two episodes later, it's her favorite show. Her favorite show.
Yeah, of course, because it's got a lot of heart. You know, it can seem quite violent and crazy, but I think what makes these things working is how I feel about the comics as well. If you've got a heart in there, if there's a core of, you know, Happy's always going to be there. He's a little bit like a baby All-Star Superman. He's always standing up for what's good and right and nice and kind. And Nick is the opposite of that. And I think that's what gives it its dynamic. If everyone was just horrible in that show, it wouldn't be any fun at all.
So the message here is that Happy is for the ladies.
Yeah, no, definitely. And the female characters are great, especially in the second season. We've got amazing women in there from you know, like little Bryce, who's like really young, up to Anne Margaret, who's a veteran of Hollywood. But all the female characters get amazing roles in this. Again, it's something I'm excited to see what people think. Everyone gets way more to do than they did in the first season, so the female characters really go on some interesting journeys. And as I say, they're all different ages, which is great. You know, there's not a lot of shows which have heroines of all different kinds of ages and looks.
So, Happy on Sci-Fi, March 27th. That's this coming Wednesday. Be sure to check that out. Grant, thanks again, man.
No, thank you.
It was great talking to you.
Yeah, thanks very much, Grant. Very honored.
Take care.
All right, man. Thanks.
Here comes the fun.
Oh, boy, here.
Are you ready?
You thought dildos were bad. Y'all ain't ready.
We've scaled this thing so much bigger than last year. It's just pure madness.
I'm going to kill your brother and tear out his kidney, and then I'm going to feed it to his fucking dog, let your old man croak in a puddle of his own piss.
Each season we're doing sort of a different holiday, and this season is about Easter.
We're going to make Easter great again.
I know that a lot of people think that we went way too far in our first season. Wait till you see this one.
Season 2 of Happy. Bigger, badder, blowier than you could ever imagine.
I can explain.
You are listening to StrangeLabel.com. Viva La Label.
It's getting hard to breathe, ba 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 ba. Can't blame it all on me, ba 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 ba. You sound just like a sheep, ba 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 ba. Been waiting just to say, ba ba ba. We gotta go, ba 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 ba. Let everybody go, ba 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 ba. Keep putting on a show.
Well, there you go. Eat shit, drunk.
He is a pirate. Is he not a pirate?
Matt, I think you did really good.
What I gather from that interview, right, he steals booty and
No.
Buries it in the ground.
Matt, you rocked that interview, Matt.
Right.
I think you did really good.
Right.
Don't be down on yourself, bud.
Right.
It's all good, champ.
Right.
at least you got to speak to him.
Thank you in there.
I sat in a smelly Dodge Grand Caravan.
Matt, I think you did really good.
I sat in a smelly Dodge.
Matt took the afternoon off.
Matt, I'll tell you, Matt. You being there means the world to me.
Moral support for Mike, for sure.
The weight I feel is evenly divided. I don't feel as nervous when my pal is there with me.
I had a headset with a headset microphone on, and at one point a car pulled up like near me, and I leaned my seat back because I knew that I looked like a fool sitting in the front seat with a microphone headset on my head.
Just roll down your window and say, "Doing a podcast."
I knew that I looked like a fucking fool sitting in the front seat of a Dodge Grand Caravan with a headset on.
So, Dan, what happens
when intelligence agent
when we do these interviews is I feel like the second I hang up the phone, I think of five things that I wish I had asked. It happens without fail.
Okay.
And in doing research to prepare to talk to him and pretty much everybody, I watch other interviews to try to gather information of what I might want to ask people. And he brought up that, like, you know, that by the next generation, he'll be forgotten and that, like, we're all pretty insignificant in the grand scheme of things. And I heard him mention that in several things, and, like, you know, how what he does will be forgotten, you know, all of his work will be meaningless in a generation and stuff. And I was curious if, like, when he...
Do you think he was just trying to pump us for compliments, though, Mike?
No.
Oh, I mean, that's what I did.
No. I think that he genuinely means it.
Grant,
no, you're great. I mean, in the parking lot of BJ's.
All-Star Superman.
All-Star Superman is such a great book.
Matt, I wish you would have told him.
It's insane good.
Okay. That's an insane notion for him to even consider that, just because, like, so much of his work is, like, really, I mean, it's just everybody loves it.
Yeah,
there's no way in a generation it's gone.
So, but what I was wondering was, when he says that, like, is his motivation to work just kind of like a, well, none of it matters, so I might as well just be awesome? Or is it like raging against that notion and like trying to matter, like trying to be immortal? And that's what I was wondering about. And I was ready for it, but for some reason I didn't ask it. I don't know why, but
yeah.
You
wanted to just be like, Grant, what's your fucking deal?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, cause he says, you know, like, oh, well, you know, no matter what I do, like, you know, my work will be forgotten and it'll all be for naught anyway. And so, like, you know, then if that's what you're thinking, like, then why do all the things that he's done? Unless he's trying
fight the reality
his own...
is, like, maybe he's like a lot of these guys that really, you know, put a lot of work out there and put a lot of effort. And, you know, just the insecurity is bigger than his accomplishments, you know, and he just feels like, you know, nobody really cares. Like, and you just got to keep pumping shit out and keep working, you know, just to stay.
Yeah, maybe he's just doing it for the – wouldn't that be crazy? He's just doing it for the paycheck, like, literally. He's written some of the most amazing comics of all time, and they absolutely – like, I mean, he's written things, fucking Flex Mentallo and The Invisibles, and, I mean, things that are absolutely going to live forever.
Right.
He's just doing it for the money.
And in the end, that's all he did it for. Like, he had like a gift, and he just used it because he could get money for it.
Sure,
I guess. I mean, why not? Right? I don't know. But yeah, that's what I've been thinking about since we hung up the phone with Grant Morrison is?
That would have been such a good question to ask him, Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That always happens. I just
probably never get another chance.
I just need to like put into the emails that I go back and forth with people like, hey, by the way, I'm going to call you back like an hour after we talk and ask you a few more things that I forgot. It's just part of the deal. Just be prepared that like an hour later, we're going to follow up with the conversation that we just had. That's what's going to go. And, you know, like I'm talking about like our body of work and, you know, raging against insignificance and like the sum total of things. I get one word in the chat. I get neat from Liquid Lozenge. You know what I'm saying, Dan? Like, you know, all the hard work that goes into everything makes it all worth it because Liquid Lozenge said neat.
Well, Mike, I mean, if it makes you feel any better, I definitely think people will be listening to WFOD generations from now.
Right.
You know, see, they won't because what'll happen is...
This is your legacy, Mike.
See, that's what I'd like to think, Dan. But, like, when I stop paying the bills, then, like, you know, it's just going to be gone off the internet. And I will not be immortal.
I mean,
I will die when I stop paying Podbean $5 a month.
It'll still be somewhere, though, right?
Can you prepay Podbean, though, for...
The Koreans, they download it every week, so...
I feel like I need to like
they eat this shit up.
Yeah.
Put these episodes on USB drives and like bury them somewhere.
Yeah.
You know we're getting close to 400, right?
Guys, 400 is coming up in a few weeks.
Just around the corner.
I'm drawing my sigil that says I want Matt and Travis to show me this schedule that they're talking about. Because I don't think they've even started one drunk.
May 3rd, you'll see the schedule.
I think May 4th is going to come. We're going to sit down to do a 12-hour podcast-a-thon for WFOD 400. And I think that they're going to say, so, Mike, what are we going to do?
It'll be just 12 hours of Deedle and Dicks, huh?
Dan, are you good for the 4th, buddy?
Are you scheduling now, Matt? Are you scheduling now? Now's the time we're going to do it. We're going to look up when Drunk's going to be driving to Massachusetts.
Dan, can you carve out some time for us on the 4th?
Potentially, yeah. Yeah, you'll have to call my people.
Have your people call my people.
I'll call your people. I'll reach out to Strange Label.
Dan, can you explain this sigil stuff to me that Grant gets into? I was trying to... So now what you do is you draw like a picture and then you jerk off on it.
That's his way of doing it. That's like his quick and easy way of doing it. Basically what a sigil is it's a way of focusing your intent down to like the absolute most pure value that it could be. And then finding some way of distracting your conscious mind so that you're like launching. It's called launching the sigil. Do that, and it basically just redirects your subconscious mind, or you know, like in the case of Grant, you know, he would be saying like it's an actual act of magic.
It's something that you want,
or don't want, possibly. You know, like I want to be a successful musician or whatever. You put it in a sigil. You make that the complete focus of your intent. You find some way of getting your mind to just sort of shut off long enough that you can launch that sigil out there. And then basically your entire will is unknowingly focused on that act. And now it has to happen. So the way that he said is the easiest way to do that is to jerk off. Because when you orgasm, it just you have your consciousness just has that little blink.
It's deep, man.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, he's done comic series like The Invisibles. He considers that to be one huge hyper sigil, he called it.
The whole series was a sigil?
Some change in the world.
So, like, he would write an issue and then it would come in the mail and he'd jerk off on it?
No. He was using that at, like, the whole thing was a sigil that he was sending out into the universe. Basically to it. I don't know what he was trying to enact with that, but possibly he made a mistake just to get us to where we are now.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I only caught like every fourth word of that interview.
Why is that?
Oh, because he's difficult to understand.
He's Scottish drunk.
Okay.
Drunk, are you snoring right now?
Yeah, drunk is breathing real heavy into the mic this week, isn't he?
I am a little
Are you congested?
Congested. That's the word I'm looking for.
I am a little
I've been taking Mucinex all week.
Oh.
Yeah, being Matt.
Drunk,
and I've been rubbing Jesus Christ. On my nose.
Matt, I several years ago I just said to myself, God, this is the guy I gotta do a podcast with. Like, right. this guy is the one that's going to take me to the promised
land. I mean, you could have fired me years ago.
I tried to. You just kept coming.
Sometimes you surround yourself with a group of people that it's just like, wow, I can't pass this opportunity up.
Yeah, I hitched my wagon to
John Lennon.
Right.
You get one gold nugget every fifth episode or so.
They're great nuggets.
So, I mean, have you brought up to anybody our conversation from last week about your shoes? Does anybody else think this is weird? You
know, I talk about it. I've been bringing it up to people at work about those fucking shoes because I can't imagine why you're just not buying extra wide shoes.
Well, I brought an example this week. So, you notice.
Oh, okay. Let's see.
These are also 11s, and I'm busting out of the side of them.
Drunk. I have like a grip. Uh-huh. On the toe of your shoe where there's no toe. Like,
right.
Like I could drag you around by this extra bunch of shoe that uh-huh. there's no toe in.
But yet I'm coming out the side of it already. See, it's tearing.
Because your feet are too
wide. Because my feet are too wide.
For Mike, can you take a picture of Drunk's feet?
Just take a picture of the foot?
For the Twitter audience so that we can see how wide... That.
You want to see how much extra shoe?
I want to see how much extra width of foot Drunk has.
His feet don't really look that wide, Matt.
They don't look
wide? They look like normal fucking feet to me.
Yeah.
But as you can...
It doesn't have like fat guy puffy feet or something.
Speak for themselves, man. Every pair of shoes...
Have sandals in the summertime?
No, never sandals. Ugh.
Oh. Yeah.
Don't sound so offended, Drunk. It was a pretty standard question.
No, my feet are not, they're not good sandal feet. Mike will tell you, I got the stinky feet.
Yeah, you know, my wife, she watches
a
reality television program called The Toe Bro. Have you heard of Toe Bro?
I have not.
It's a podiatrist. He does like foot surgeries all day. Like he rips out ingrown toenails and stuff. And they have a television program where you can watch this. And I don't understand why anybody would watch it, but they do all these shows. There's lots
of... Can
you
make my feet skinnier?
It's like every profession has a show.
Kind of like that Dr. Pimple Popper. Have you seen that one?
Yeah, I think it's by the same people that make that
show.
That
show is so gross, but I love it.
You like?
Can we measure his feet, like the width of his feet? Do you have a tape measurer?
Oh, yeah, that's a great idea.
What do you... How would you compare that to other people's feet?
I want to compare my foot to his now.
Like the width?
Yeah.
So we're going to...
Mike, take off your shoe and sock. Drunk, you take off your shoe and sock. And then hold your feet together. Yes. And then we'll see how much wider.
Of it from your perspective, yeah. Mike, so we can see his overlapping your...
Yeah.
On his foot?
Put your foot belly on his foot belly.
Right.
Then just hold him there.
I don't think I want to do that.
Look, you have to make direct eye contact when you're doing this.
So we're gonna put feet on feet.
Yes.
You don't want to put your feet on my feet.
I don't want to put my feet on his feet.
I get it, but you're gonna have to, Mike. Yeah,
science.
We don't want to do a lot of things that we have to do, Mike. Right. But
this has to be done.
Okay, so we're going to like do a foot high five? Is that what we're doing?
Well, you have to hold it there until we can see what the overhang is.
Drunk, are we going to do a foot high five?
No.
Drunk doesn't want to do a foot high five.
I need to know how much excess foot there is on the sides.
I'll measure it with a tape measure.
I like my idea better.
What size shoe you wear, Mike?
I wear a size 12, but like an actual 12.
Like a fucking 9.
9.5.
But it's like triple E.
Yes, it's wide. It's a widen.
This is crazy.
So your feet are almost as wide as they are long. You have hooves, drunk.
It's got girthy feet.
I mean, I don't mind buying too big of shoes. I don't know why it floors you guys.
I just don't understand how you don't trip on them.
Yeah, I would like to maybe think that if we could solve your shoe problem, because I actually think it's a problem, your whole life changes.
You think that's the thread that unravels Drunk's whole life?
Yeah.
You solve Drunk's feet. I think you start
buying him extra wide shoes, and all of a sudden he goes home and he's like, there's too many fucking dressers in this house.
And then he just starts breaking them up.
Yeah.
Starts breathing like a normal human.
Stops drinking.
I think he goes home and he's like, why do I have so many fucking refrigerators?
And just throws them out on the lawn.
It's the butterfly effect that'll fix Drunk. Guys, if you got a lead on
his own mattress company, he's tired of working with the man.
Some extra wide shoes.
His own podcast.
Oh shit! Yeah, no, you're talking. What would the Drunk solo cast be called? Would you be a guest on it, Mike?
I would not. No. So he, drunk.
Drunk all of a sudden starts putting things in Mike's mouth.
You're gonna be Drunk sidekick now.
Drunk just travels to states and broadcasts from the hotel rooms in the state, but doesn't actually like go anywhere in the state. He's like, I'm in a hotel room in Maine. It looks like a hotel room.
See, I was having these fantasies of like Drunk, like doing some kind of Founding Fathers, like doing bong rips with a Button Gwinnett reenactor or something.
Yeah.
But he's actually just going to stay in his hotel room and smoke pot the whole time, because that's exactly what he did in Colorado. He didn't leave his goddamn hotel room the whole trip. You missed like a fucking Cypress Hill concert so you could sit in a Holiday Inn somewhere and eat brownies.
That was the first time.
That was the first time.
You spent like $1,600 to fly out there to the goddamn hotel and get high.
But we had such a good time. I can't help it that the hotel rented us a vaporizer. I didn't even have to go rent a vaporizer. The hotel gave us one.
They provided him one.
We saved money because we only ate the continental breakfast.
What are you guys trying to say? I don't get it.
What are you trying to say, Dan? What'd you pull?
We did go to the city hall to smoke on 420. We did that.
Well, that's cool. Don't let these jagaloons get
down. I saw Wiz Khalifa that day.
I saw Wiz Khalifa.
I saw Wiz Khalifa.
Who's laughing now?
Hey, well, don't I have egg on my face?
Oh. Hey.
It was a very nice Quality Inn, okay?
Yeah, Quality Inn, not a Holiday Inn.
I couldn't afford the Holiday Inn.
No, the Quality Inn, you could smoke in the room, so.
Yeah, of course.
It's important.
Mike's laughing so hard he fogged his glasses.
We won't charge you anything extra.
Oh, Dan.
Urinate in the corner and you will get your deposit.
Oh, Drunk fucking nailed you, Dan.
He got me back. What's your point? Right. Right.
So,
charge it.
Guys.
Did you hear Grant say turgid, by the way? Did anybody hear that?
I did not.
Turgid.
Turgid.
It's such a turgid show.
That's another thing that I would ask him to do if I could call him back.
Grant, just say turgid.
So, yeah.
Did you ask him to do a buffer for us, at least?
I was going to, but then Dan had to get a shout-out in for his wife.
Well, don't worry. Dan's impersonation's so great, nobody will know the difference.
Hello, this is Grant Morrison. You're listening to WFOT on strangelabel.com.
Amazing.
It's not bad.
It's so good.
It's really not bad, Dan.
You sure that wasn't Shrek?
Jesus Christ. Dan, do you have what you'd say is a pick of the week? Something you want the people to know about? Something that jumps out at you is It's something in the pop culture sphere.
Okay, so my pick of the week hasn't actually happened yet, but on Thursday, Rammstein are releasing the first music video off of their new album that is coming out, and I am quivering with excitement about it. They released a little teaser today, and the video looks super dark. The music, there's just a little bit of music in it, but
it's
just
the song called Du Hast.
It is not, in fact, Du Hast. It's it's like they're doing like Metallica, where every album they release another version of Du Hast.
Right. Yeah, that's what I assumed they were
doing.
Yeah,
it's Du Hast 2.
He's thriving Du Hast with 5. Excitement.
Still Du Hast.
The Du Hastening.
Have I ever told you guys about my Unforgiven anomaly when it comes on the radio? And whichever Unforgiven I want it to be,
it's the other one.
And it's not always the same one. If you want
to hear us
go into
depth about that, listen to DMM show episode number 3, I believe.
When we talked about the Unforgiven thing?
Yeah, remember we talked about that on the DMM show.
Dan, am I out of stories? Have I said everything that I'm ever going to say?
Mike's just recycling all of his stories.
There it is, Mike. You're done.
That was the last
March
one I had.
26, 2019. You were done.
Today was the day that.
Yep.
I just called it in. And said, I have all the Mike stuff that I'm ever going to have.
Yep. Guys, have you ever heard of this fella Napier? I should get him on the show. He's pretty funny.
I banged on some concrete.
We could just like start over. you know what?
WFOD reboot.
What's funny is I imagine that a lot of the, like, we don't repeat ourselves like for our own sake, but we could. And I mean, it's not like anybody's going to remember what we talked about 200 weeks ago.
Well, every show.
The
is
only people that cares about any of this is us.
There are the people that take time out of their day to listen to all of the episodes.
I mean, that episode of Napier's Sexy Storytime for the Ladies, where Jim Chapman played Raphael, that was your all-star Superman, Mike. Absolutely.
Because I cast the right person as Raphael?
Just the whole thing.
That's what you're giving me credit for? I don't think I really did anything.
You're the one that asked him to do it, right?
Laughed in the background.
Why wouldn't I give you credit for it? I mean, I'm not talking to Frank quietly about how good fucking All-Star. I would.
Frank?
I was talking to Graham Morrison about how good All-Star Superman is.
Did you give
Rammstein.
Rammstein. Yeah, Matt, pick of the week. Something for the people to know about. Matt, by the way, you killed it in that interview.
Thank you. Thank you. I had to come back to work, and they're like, boy, you were gone a while. I was like,
Matt, you're sweating. What were you doing in that car in the TGI Fridays parking lot?
Sitting out there with all the windows rolled up.
Guys, I had to.
For the sake of audio quality, no air conditioning.
And buy stuff that we didn't need, so I came back, and it looked like I went shopping. Like, because that's what I said. I'm going to BJ's to get stuff for the break room,
Matt,
that we didn't need.
Matt,
we did not need anything.
You're my guy. You're a trooper.
Toothpicks.
You're a killer.
Came back with paper towels, cups, some creamer. And when I came back with creamer, somebody legitimately said, "Guys, we have 6 boxes of creamer. Why'd you buy more creamer?" I'm like, I got nothing.
Some plastic. You're fucking fired. That's why.
Plastic
did they get out, Jerry? Fuck you.
Drunk pick of the week?
Drunk's pick of the week is the not yet named Dan Fernicus edition of the Kidz Bop opposite.
Whatever the opposite of Kidz Bop in that shit is. That's the name of it, I think. That's
amazing,
what I wrote down.
Is what that was.
I liked it. Did Matt say what his pick of the week was?
I was giving him a time to collect himself, you know.
Oh, okay. Sorry. That's professional. It was professional of me to point that out.
I do have a pick of the week, but I didn't want to be, I didn't want to step on Mike if it was Mike's pick of the week.
Happy season 2.
Afterlife on Netflix, starring the Ricky Gervais. Really, really great show.
Yeah. I've watched a couple of them, and it's a good show.
Has it got that Steve Merchant in it?
No, it's Ricky Gervais, and he just runs around. And I don't know why Matt says Ais. I think most people say Ricky Gervais, don't they?
Has it got that Carl Pilkington?
Gervais.
It's
Gervais?
Yeah. Is that not, that's not it? Gervais. Like a, with like a French, like a V. Right.
Gervais.
Gervois. That's right. That's how I've always said it.
And anyway, it's a really great show if you have not watched it. And I just watched the fourth episode, and it's just the dialogue really, it's funny, depressing and everything. And it kind of makes you sit back and contemplate some of those life decisions that you've made. So I really recommend it. Great
is
show.
Is this like a sitcom type of a show?
I don't want to call it a sitcom.
I haven't heard anything about it at all.
It's they're half hour episodes. The basic premise of the show is that his wife dies of cancer, and then he kind of becomes, yeah. And there it is.
Guys.
Do you have a pick of the week there, bud?
Yeah, a Happy season 2 premieres tomorrow. I've already seen the first 3 episodes because I'm a fucking big shot. Yeah. So
you guys scream.
I mean, you losers who haven't seen it yet, it's on tomorrow, you know.
Wait, you've got the first 3 episodes?
Yeah, Matt. I'm a big shot.
He could have shared that with us before the interview. Right. Maybe we would have been a little better prepared.
Oh, my God. I could have said something more than right.
Yeah, I wonder if the link still works, guys. I could try it.
Out of time.
Yeah, I could try it, see if the link still works. You wait till they're
on. Hi, Grant.
You nailed that, Matt. You did a really good job. I'm going to start burying USB drives in the backyard.
Right.
So that hundreds of years from now, archaeologists can uncover it and say,
I wonder what this stick does.
What's this? You know what I'm saying?
This looks like it fits in an anus.
We should probably transcribe these or something.
Otherwise, anus is the future, just USB.
That's right. They're just upload ports.
Right.
So, yeah, guys, that's the show. We'll do it again next week. Thank you, Dan. Guys, check out the Furnacast. Furnacast.com is Dan's program. It's a good time. Strangelabel.com, Thursday nights.
Should we check out the Lotus Cast, too?
No.
Yes, please.
They got old episodes somewhere.
Yeah. The archive. Lots of old episodes.
Matt, you're my guy, Matt. You killed that interview, Matt.
Right.
Killed it.
Sounds out, guns out.
You to know it's over.
Well, bye.
Thank you for listening to this installment of WFOD. Join us live every Tuesday night at 9, 8 Central on strangelabel.com. Be sure to check out all the other great shows that station offers. You can download past episodes of our lengthy catalog or enjoy other premium content on our website found at WFODshow.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at WFODix. Email us Mike, Travis, or Drunk at WFODshow.com. Give us a call when we're live or when we're not live. Phone over there is 636-487-HAND. Special thanks, as always, to our Patreon sponsors, Liquid Lozenge and Brian Kranz. If you'd like to contribute, it's patreon.com/WFODix. We'll be back next week. Thank you. And goodbye.
Lots of good stuff happening. It's going to be juicy. You'll see. All right. Bye for now. Take good care of yourself. Bye.